Luke 7, verses 36 to 50, which can be found on page 136 of the Church Bibles. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in the town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had a bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Henry, thank you for reading God's words to us so well. If you have that in front of you, please keep it there. Luke chapter 7 on page 1036. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you as one church, asking that you would open our ears to hear your word and open our hearts so that we would be a church shaped by your word, putting it into practice and living together for your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, it is so wonderful to be together as brothers and sisters from five congregations, united as one church family. And I want us to think today about what we want to be known for as a church. What qualities do we want to mark us out and define us as St. Mary's Church? Here on the High Street, we're surrounded by other organisations. So the new restaurant down there, Sauce and Flour, they want to be known for authentic Italian pasta made with the freshest ingredients. Whereas McDonald's at the other end of the High Street, on the other hand, which is where I go, by the way, they want to be known for tasty and quick grub. Or consider Peake's Menswear. Have you seen it? The shop just over there. They want to be known for sartorial elegance, for crisp tailoring. Whereas Sports Direct, just over the other side of the road, which is where I shop, they want to be known for value and for comfort. But what about us? What about us as St. Mary's? What do we want to be known for as a church? Well, maybe for friendliness. We're a church where anyone can come and have a warm welcome. Maybe for fellowship. We're a real family who love each other. Maybe for teaching God's word, that we teach and trust and obey the Bible. Well, those things are all vital. But actually, there is something that goes deeper than all of them, which our Bible reading points to. Love for Jesus Christ. Our Bible reading suggests to us that above all else, we should be known as a church which loves Jesus. We want people, when they walk past on the High Street, to think those guys are passionate about their Saviour. Well, in this great Bible reading in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50, Jesus has been invited to a house for dinner. Perhaps you can imagine the scene at this dinner party. The host is a Pharisee named Simon. And as you know, the Pharisees were highly respected in those days. Outwardly, he was morally impeccable. He would be regular in attendance at the synagogue, giving generously to charity. So this was a very proper occasion, a dinner party hosted by Simon the Pharisee. And there they were, reclining at table, as they did in those days, sipping the Chateau Capernaum, when suddenly there was a commotion at the door, and a woman bursts in. And we're told in verse 37 that she had lived a sinful life in that town. We don't know what it was, but she'd been embroiled in some obvious wrongdoing. I should say, it could equally have been a man who'd lived a sinful life. Luke is not a sexist book, but on this occasion it was a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town. But what is clear is that she loves Jesus deeply. In verse 38, she weeps. She's weeping tears of joy. She washes Jesus' feet. She kisses Jesus' feet. She pours perfume on them. Her actions show that she loves Jesus deeply. Now, in verse 39, the Pharisee looks down on the woman for her disreputable past and even looks down on Jesus for allowing him to touch her. But the surprise of this dinner party is that it is that woman and not the Pharisee who has grasped what Christianity is all about. And Jesus goes on to explain two things which the woman had understood, two things which are at the heart of the Christian faith, two things that we want to shape us as a church: forgiveness and love for Jesus. And those are the two things we're going to think about this morning: forgiveness and love for Jesus Christ. So first of all, forgiveness. God's forgiveness of our sins. In verse 41, Jesus tells the Pharisee a story to help him understand God's forgiveness. Verse 41, two men, or literally two people in the original language, owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now, in Jesus' story, the two people represent the woman and the Pharisee. And the shock of the story is that both of them are in debt. The one owes 500 denarii. That's about £50,000, an enormous sum. The other 50 denarii, about 5,000. Still a considerable sum in those days. But the crucial point comes at the start of verse 42. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. Really, at the end of the day, these two people are in the same situation. Now, the Pharisee knew that the woman needed God's forgiveness. That was obvious to him. But what he hadn't realized is that he did too. And actually, that kind of spiritual pride is a danger for us. As we go on in the Christian life, we can forget our need for God's forgiveness. If we followed Christ for a long time, we can forget our need to have our debt cancelled by God. But however long we have been a Christian, however respectable we are on the outside, all of us need God's forgiveness. It's the point of Jesus' story. Now, I've brought these two bottles with me. They're meant to be bottles of vitamin-enriched mineral water. I had to drink it, and I don't recommend it. This is what they're meant to be. And let's say that these two bottles stand for the sinful woman and for the Pharisee. Now, when you look at the sinful woman, you can see straight away there's a problem in her heart, represented by this muddy water. She knew it. Everyone knew it. It was obvious. But when you look at the Pharisee, he actually looks quite good on the outside. He looks respectable. There's his charitable giving, his attendance at church regularly every week. But you know, if you peel away what's on the outside, you see that he had exactly the same problem on the inside that she did. In all of our hearts, there's pride, There's selfishness, there's bitterness. And that horrible attitude of rebellion against God, that whenever it suits us, we push God away and we live in God's world as if we were in charge and he didn't matter at all. Now, our outward respectability, it might cover the problem, but it doesn't solve the problem. Until they're forgiven, our sins are like a debt to God, which we can never pay off ourselves. Now, in the ancient world, if you were in debt, that could lead to you and your family being sold into slavery. Actually, our sin is an even more serious problem. Until it is forgiven by God, our sin separates us from friendship with God. It leads us to an eternity cut off from God, from all his good gifts. A terrible, terrible thing. So Jesus' story, he's trying to challenge Simon the Pharisee. He's trying to get him to realize that all of us need God's forgiveness. But his story is also showing that forgiveness is available to all. So imagine those two people in Jesus' story, those two people who were in debt and neither of them had the money to pay him back. And imagine they're going to the bank for their final meeting with the bank manager. And on the way, they each practice what they're going to say. Please, give me a bit longer. I'll sell what little I have. I'll try to get a night job. I'll be able to pay you off, I promise. And they get to the bank and they're shown in to see the bank manager and they start to say, please, just give me a bit longer. I think I can get a night job. I think I'm going to be able to pay you back. And the manager says to them, no, that will not be necessary. Your debts here at the bank have been cancelled in full. You are forgiven. You don't owe a penny. Now, that's what Jesus Christ says to us when we come to him in faith. Full and free forgiveness. Whatever our sins are, however serious they are, however many times we have done them, when we trust in Christ, he forgives us. So that in God's sight, as believers, we're like this bottle of spring water, pure and clean, totally forgiven, restored to friendship with him, heading for an eternity not separated for him, but with him. And that's what the woman at the dinner party had grasped. Forgiveness from Jesus. She knew that Jesus had forgiven her sins. But there's something else she grasped as well, and that is love for Jesus. And in fact, the two are connected. Forgiveness leads to love. Being forgiven by Jesus Christ leads to love for Jesus Christ. Really, that's the point of Jesus' story. So verse 41, once again, two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. See, the point of Jesus' story, forgiveness leads to love. And so Jesus goes on to contrast Simon and the woman. Look at verse 44. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell her, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. What a contrast. The woman loved Jesus deeply. The Pharisee fails to even fulfill the normal obligations of a host. Now, the woman loved Jesus so deeply that she brought with her an alabaster jar of perfume, which I'm going to try and represent by this, not exactly alabaster, this glass jar of Hugo Boss aftershave, which I was given for Christmas some years ago. And this would have been her most costly and precious possession that she had. And she came to that dinner party and she just poured it out. I guess she was using the whole jar of perfume because it was Jesus. And I wonder if you can smell this. Now's the time to signal if you have any allergies. And she was there, she was in the dinner party, and she was just using this perfume just to wash Jesus' feet. And the fragrance of that perfume would have been filling the room where Jesus was. It was the fragrance of her love for Jesus. And she was not only putting the perfume on his feet, she was wetting the feet with her tears. She was wiping them with her hair. She was kissing his feet. Her love for Jesus was so deep and so passionate. And I'm going to put that there, and I'm going to hope that the fragrance of that Hugo Boss, other brands are available aftershave, is just going to fill our place here, the fragrance of her love for Jesus. And Jesus says in verse 47, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much." Now Jesus is not saying that her love earned her forgiveness. No, as Jesus' story makes clear, it's the other way around. Forgiveness received leads to love shown. One translation captures verse 47 very well. "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown." Her love is the evidence that she has grasped Jesus' forgiveness. Simon the Pharisee, on the other hand, doesn't love Jesus at all. He fails even to observe the normal social customs of hospitality, failing to greet Jesus with a kiss or to provide any water for his feet. And Jesus says in verse 47, "He who has been forgiven little loves little," which in the Pharisee's case is an understatement. He does not love Jesus at all because he has not yet grasped forgiveness from Jesus. Whereas the woman who knows her sins have been forgiven, her love for Jesus is heartfelt. She wasn't putting it on, it came from the heart. And her love for Jesus was costly. That perfume would have been her most precious possession. She poured it out for Jesus. Her love for Jesus was public. She didn't mind who knew it. She loved him. And her love for Jesus was brave. She knew people would judge her, and she did it anyway. What an example, believers, she sets us of love for Jesus. A love that is heartfelt, costly, public, and brave. And of course, as believers, that's what our love for Christ should be like. But actually, how easy it is for our love for him to grow cold. Read a few years ago about a man who was on a driving holiday in Italy with his wife, and he left her behind at the service station, and he continued for 210 miles before he realized his mistake. When speaking to a local reporter, he said, "I only realized what I'd done when I asked for a toffee and nothing happened." Love had grown cold, I think, in that relationship. And actually, that so easily happens as individuals and even as a church for our love for Jesus Christ. And it shows when hearing God's word in the Bible becomes a duty, not a delight. When talking to Jesus in prayer seems like a chore and not like a privilege. And when we go through the motions of meeting together as Jesus' people and singing his praises, but the passion isn't there. So what should we do if our love for Jesus has grown cold? Well, the answer we're seeing here is remember your forgiveness. It's forgiveness received that leads to love shown. That's why the passage in Jesus returns to the theme of forgiveness towards the end. He wants to reassure the woman of what she already knows. He says to her, verse 48, "Your sins are forgiven." He wants those who trust him to know for sure that he has forgiven us. So brothers and sisters, when we find it hard to love Jesus as she did, remember that we once faced a debt that we couldn't pay. We had rebelled against God. We faced his wrath. And then Jesus, in his love, chose to take our place and die on the cross to pay for our sins, so that when we trust in him, we are forgiven. Forgiven for all our sins, including our lack of love. And when you think of what Jesus has done to forgive you, when you think of Jesus going to the cross for you, don't you find love for him welling up within you? Forgiveness received leads to love shown. And so as a church, we need to teach and think regularly about the cross. We need to sing about our forgiveness passionately. We need to talk to one another about what Jesus has done for us. We need the Spirit of God to work the forgiveness won at the cross deep into our hearts, so that more and more we will be a church that loves Jesus passionately. And of course, true love for Jesus is not mere sentimentality. It actually changes us. So true love for Jesus leads to obedience. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." See, if our love for Jesus is cold, his commands, well, they seem like a burden, an imposition on us. But when our love for Jesus is warm, well, we know that what he wants is best. And we want to please him above all else. And so we find that we're searching the Bible to find his commands. And we keep on redoubling our efforts to throw off sin again and to walk in obedience to him. Love for Jesus leads to obedience. And true love for Jesus also leads to love for his people. So when our love for Jesus is cold, church is just another group of people on the edge of our life. But when our love for Jesus is warm, well, we see each other as brothers and sisters, and we want to love one another because we know that he loves us. That's a love which leads us to want to know each other, to forgive each other as Christ has forgiven us, to sacrifice and serve to support one another. True love for Jesus leads to love for his people. And also true love for Jesus leads to love for the lost. When our love for Jesus is warm, well, we want others to know him. We're desperate for people to give him the honor and praise that he deserves. We want others to know the forgiveness that he alone brings. If we love Jesus as a church, we'll be connected to our community, welcoming and outward looking, and working and praying and putting ourselves out there to engage our town with the gospel of Christ. True love for Jesus leads to obedience and love for his people and love for the lost. So, brothers and sisters, what do we want to be known for as a church? When people think of St. Mary's, what do we want them to think of? Sauce and flour? Authentic ingredients? Peake's menswear? Those extraordinary trousers in the window, all different colours, sharp tailoring? St. Mary's? We want to be known as a church that loves Jesus, our Saviour. It's not just going through the motions, not just doing the outward things, but is passionate about Jesus. And remember that it is forgiveness that leads to love. So it's knowing that he went to the cross to make us pure in God's sight, which leads to a love for him, which is heartfelt and costly, public and brave. Let's pray together. Father God, we confess that so often as individuals and as a church, we do not love Jesus Christ as we should. And so we thank you that he died to forgive all our sins, including our lack of love. Help us as a church to be thrilled with the forgiveness we have in Christ, and may it lead us to love Jesus as this woman did, a love that leads us to obey him, to love his people, and to love the lost. Amen.